so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Good afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program. Kizito, and once again, I would like to welcome you all to this week's edition of the Born to Lead program. So that's the Osibisa band. They say welcome home. So I'd like to welcome you all once again to the Born to Lead show. And those of you listening live on Facebook, thank you for joining us as well. We love you all, and we hope that you're going to enjoy the discussion for today. So our special guest is right seated here. And very soon we're going to be introducing her on the program. All right. right. So, welcome once again to the Born to Lead Show for this week. It's been an awesome week, and I hope that you enjoyed your week as well. So, we have our guests seated. So, I'll do a very quick introduction, and then we just kick it off from there. So, our guest today is someone very special who is on the Auckland Council. She's a councillor representing Mongakiki Tamaki Ward. She's a Samoan New Zealander, and with great respect for Tikanga Maori and Titiro Maori as well. She graduated with LLB MBA from the University of Auckland. She worked as a private solicitor for 2 years and then worked with MB, that is Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, for about 13 good years. She's been working with the Red Cross in regards to her community engagement, as well as an organization called Pacifica, which is going to be talking about very soon as well. She served on the local board of Mongakiki Tamaki for years, and also she just recently got elected as a ward councillor on the governing board of the beautiful city of Auckland. She sits on many of the committees as a member of the governing board of the Auckland Council, and she also been involved in a lot of community activities, a strong advocate for a lot of or numerous community activities, which we're going to be interviewing her about very soon. And then I'm very sure that she's got a lot to offload today. So just get buckled up, get seated, and I'll introduce you. She's no other person than Councillor Josephine Batley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your show, Casito. It's awesome to be here today, and I look forward to our discussion, and hello to all your listeners and viewers out there.
Wow, beautiful. All right, awesome. So tell us, apart from the blurb that I read, who's Josephine Batley?
Who is Josephine Batley?
Sorry.
Good question. I think for me, I really am passionate, and I know everybody says this, but I am passionate about our communities.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much dictated or directed the career that I've taken in my life, with my life, or the direction I've taken with my career.
Awesome.
So yeah, community, family person, and just someone that's hoping to do some good out there during my time on this earth.
Awesome. Where did you grow up, Joe?
I grew up in 275 Māngere.
Yeah.
Grew up there. I have two brothers, Joseph and Ted. My brother Ted is a detective in Sydney.
Yeah.
And my brother Joseph is a planner. So I'm very proud of my family. I also have a brother in Sydney, Paul, who's doing well for himself as well. So grew up in Māngere out south, and moved into Tamaki in 2006, coming up from Wellington.
Awesome. So as a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? I mean, did you have any ambitions, you know, as a kid?
I wanted to be a shopkeeper because I really just wanted to eat lollies.
Whoa.
That's when I was a kid, But a seventh form, we sat around in our class and we talked about what we wanted to do when we left school.
Mm.
And what I wanted to do when I left school was to be a lawyer. So I talked to my careers advisor.
Yeah.
I volunteered at the local Māngere Community Law Centre to see what I needed to do in order to achieve my goal.
Yeah.
So while other kids were out there playing, going movies and all that stuff, I was down at the law centre helping out. And Andrew Beecroft, who is now the Children's Commissioner, he was really helpful and instrumental in guiding me through to, what career I take and helping me get into law school.
Wow, awesome. So talking about mentorship, I mean, how do other mentors, or if you've had previous ones, how did they influence your life, you know, with regards to the journey that you've taken in terms of your career?
So I've been mentored by Pacifica. Mm. So Pacifica is a nationwide Pacific women's organization set up in the 1970s when we first started, well, a big group of Pacific Island people started moving to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So they set up to support each other, really. And I went along thinking that I was going to a cake store, and it ended up being a Pacific women's branch meeting. Mm. And Ainu'u Seuli Moira Walker was one of the ladies who took me under her wing and mentored me into being strong in myself, into being a Pacific woman. That's what she did for me. So I'm very grateful to Pacifica. Tuisulu Brown, Laurel Taufauata were also influential in helping mould me back then.
Awesome. So what one message or core message you can say you've received from your mentors?
Is to be strong in who you are as a person, to know who you are, to connect with your identity, whatever percentage blood you may have of that ethnicity, own it, because that makes you who you are, and just to be proud of who you are.
Awesome. Well, you've risen through the ranks in terms of governance when it comes to Auckland Council. Tell us a bit about your journey to and within the Auckland Council. We just want to know, can you share some of your professional journey with us?
Sure. So I actually, I grew up in Mangere. So growing up in Mangere in the 80s, you're surrounded by David Longhi. You know, there were David Longhi billboards everywhere when he was the MP for Mangere.
Yeah.
And that was quite influential. I saw that and I thought, I want to do that. I want to do something where you are sort of like a caretaker of an area.
Yeah.
And so I got involved in my community. And you can't help get involved because you see something that you don't think is right.
Yeah.
And you just get involved. And so I got, I stood for the Tamaki Community Board.
Mm.
When I first moved into Tamaki in 2006, I wasn't successful in the selection, and I was a part of the Labour Party as well. So from there, an opportunity came up to stand for Parliament for Tamaki, because it's a National Party stronghold, and you know, it's not likely that you would win in that area. And I did it because I wanted to platform some of the issues that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
So I have had a long involvement with politics, standing in 2008. And some of my buddies that I stood with are now doing amazing things. Carmel Sipiloni, Michael Wood, that was my generation when we all stood. So I'm very proud of them. Jacinda Ardern was another one. And look at her. So amazing, amazing people. And then, of course, I didn't win the 2008, standing for Parliament there. And then in 2010, the opportunity came because it was a super city.
Yeah.
Auckland Council changed its structure. So I took the opportunity to run for the local board and was successful, and have been successful every time I've stood in Tamaki. And then Denise Lee, who was the councillor at the time, late last year, announced that she would be standing down as councillor. So that opened up the way for a by-election. And I took the opportunity to represent Maungakeke Tamaki as a councillor, and went for it and was successful. So in terms of Auckland Council, that's been my journey. But the backbone of everything has been my involvement in the community. That's given me the backing, the strength, the knowledge, the experience to put myself forward for such a big role as governing Auckland.
Awesome. What have been some of the turning points in your career as a politician, if you are to look back in your journey?
Yeah, the turning points. I think I can point to 2011 when we started doing the redevelopment. So the government at the time started redeveloping in Glen Innes. It was called the Glen Innes North Redevelopment.
Mm.
That was where they took 156 state houses and redeveloped them. Out of those 156, 76 would remain state houses. The rest would be market, sold to the market or affordable rentals. And that was a turning point for me because that made me want to get more involved in my local community. Because I love where I live. I don't want to see that character change.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to make sure that the changes that were happening were actually well prepared for.
Mm.
You can't have so many people move in the area and not see a direct impact on traffic, on water.
Yeah.
Quality on the infrastructure. So I wanted to get, I just wanted to stay local and be involved in local, and that really set my mind into staying at this level, at local government level. And just the decisions and everything that you can think of impacts your daily life through Auckland Council.
Awesome. If you were to tell us one big challenge in your career which you overcame, and what you learned through that journey of yours, what would that be?
Okay. So I think I found the by-election really challenging because, to be honest, when I was on the local board, nobody really cared what you said. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't have journalists ringing you all the time trying to get quotes from you about things that are happening
because it's more local based, so they were not really that interested.
You get involved, you do your thing locally, and you don't, you know, nobody really, it doesn't end up in the paper
because you get the work done, so no one
that's right. And but what I noticed during the by-election was the spotlight is heavily on you, and being a councillor, the spotlight is heavily on you. And that I have found challenging. And during the by-election, so what I also found challenging was putting yourself out there because you're open to any comments. And, you know, I'm not very confrontational, I don't think. I don't really like confrontation. And you also can be a little bit self-conscious. And actually, you're human, so you take those comments to heart that people say about you. And I got quite a few comments about physical appearance, about my ethnicity, about whether I'm going to represent everyone or just my own kind, which to date I still think, well, my own kind being humans, you know, of course I'm going to represent human beings. But, it was challenging. And then I also suffer from, you know, which a lot of people do. Sometimes I get, you know, a little bit depressed.
Yeah.
And so going through a campaign with that kind of happening as well was extremely difficult. You know, some days you just couldn't get out of bed, and then you think about what you're putting yourself out there for, and you think about the difference that you want to make for your communities, and that just pushes you. And actually, it was people having faith in me that got me to where I am now.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely grateful.
Awesome.
But at the end of the day, if you don't believe in yourself, then no one else will.
Great. I'm glad that you now sit at the big table governing our big city, which is an enormous challenge, I believe. It's not an easy job, you know, to be on the board of our city. So, what are some of the challenging issues that you have to resolve or plan to resolve as a councillor? I mean, what are some of the things that,
I'm really glad that I'm on council at this time because we are making some pretty monumental decisions and changes that, you know, are actually quite brave to do. And I know the fuel tax has hit a lot of people hard, but I trust in the fact that it's going to bring benefits to everybody, especially those that have been hit hard right now. And, you know, these changes to our transport system, so they should have been done decades ago. And, you know, we'd see a big change. We wouldn't have so much congestion that we have now. But we really do need to do something about it. And that fuel tax is going to help us get there. So I'm really glad to be there now. You know, we're doing something about water quality. How bad is it that we've had to shut down beaches because they're contaminated, they're polluted? And, you know, like I live near Point England Beach,
yeah.
So I went swimming once, and the next day I was sick, and that's because, you know, there's the mix of wastewater and stormwater, and that floods out into our waterways,
beaches, yeah.
And that should not be the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's awesome that we're actually trying to do something about that now. It's going to take a while, but at least this council is doing something about those things.
Great. So tell us, for the benefit of my listeners and viewers, what is the role of the governing body of Auckland Council? As a councillor, what is your core role?
Our core role is basically to run Auckland, to look after and run Auckland. That's our core role through council.
Awesome. And you sit on about 7 or 8 subcommittees?
I do, yes.
Yeah, if I'm getting
that
right.
I hold probably the most.
Yeah.
Or one of the most.
Yeah, I was looking at your programs a while. That's a long list, which means, yeah, you must be doing something great to sit on many of these boards. So as a member of all these subcommittees, you know, of Auckland Council, I think I was looking at it, just forgive me, let me just... So, Monga Authority,
yes.
Appointments Committee, Performance Review,
yeah.
The Value for Money Committee,
yeah.
Community Development and Safety Committee,
yeah.
Regulatory, Treaty of Waitangi, and I don't know if there's anything else, but this is what I have, and then the Disability and Advisory Panel, is that right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's quite a big portfolio for you as a counselor. So tell us, can you highlight some of the impacts that you are making, or your portfolios kind of help to, you know, shape a beautiful city of Auckland? Can you take us through some of the, you know, some of the things that you are doing as a counselor and as a committee,
yeah.
Some of the things that you are doing?
Okay. So, yeah, there's quite a few committees. The Community Development and Safety Committee, that's when, you know, you get to do things that your heart is, you know, into or involved in.
Yeah.
And that one, I'm quite keen on that one. That one I do for my heart and my soul, because it's looking after people.
Mm.
And with that one, we're looking at homelessness. So that is the vehicle to advocate, to raise issues, to discuss.
Yeah.
And that's led by Councillor Cathy Casey.
Yeah.
There's also the Environment and Community Committee as well, which is a big committee led
yeah.
by Councillor Penny Hulse. That also picks up on the social issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's where we're looking at the water quality issues, waste, recycling.
Yeah.
That's all picked up through that committee. There's the Finance and Performance, which is sort of your budget finances
yeah.
committee. Planning Committee is the other big one, where we're leading a lot of development in Auckland.
Yeah.
And that is to try and address the housing shortage.
Yeah.
I think we're short of about 45,000 homes in Auckland.
Wow.
So that is the committee that is pushing through with development and pushing through with Panuku leading a lot of the development work for Auckland Council as its development arm. So there are major things that each committee is doing.
Yeah.
Parks and open space, looking at our assets, you know, the big discussions on at the moment are how do we use our assets better? How do we use our parks, our green spaces, our golf courses, our
yeah.
marinas better so that everybody can have access?
That's a story.
And then also, how do we build more houses faster? So, yeah, those committees, they have a big impact on everything that happens in Auckland.
Yeah,
the appointments the appointments committee, value for money performance, value for money committee, that is looking at how we do things in a better way.
Mm. So you scrutinize most of these, as you say, the paperwork that comes from management, you know, about this is how much we think we're going to be spending on this. So it's your job to scrutinize all these budgets and other things coming from management as a value for money, especially.
Yeah, that would be in the finance committee.
Oh, finance,
but
okay.
In the appointments, when it's really looking at our boards
mm.
and how we can better reflect Auckland and the makeup of those boards.
Yeah.
Because currently we don't have very many, like the gap in our boards is women, but it's, ethnic diversity amongst the women representatives. We don't have a very strong representation there.
Okay, so what the value for money committee? What is the actual role? If that is different from the finance committee,
that's
then,
different.
Yeah, then what is the core role of the value for money committee?
Yeah, so that is looking at, that's part of the appointments committee.
Yeah,
and is really looking at how council does things and can we do things better?
Okay,
with what we're currently doing in council. Yeah,
awesome.
So it's not. It's not about cost cutting. It's just about redesigning or just seeing how we can get better value out of what we do.
Awesome. That's great. So you've been working with Auckland Council on the leadership and governance role, right, from local boards up to, the governing board of Auckland Council. What has been your proudest moment as a councillor?
My proudest moment as a councillor was actually getting in. That's my proudest moment.
At least, to be on the table, yeah.
In terms of what I've done as a councillor,
yeah.
I mean, I've been in the role now 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 months. So what is my proudest moment? My proudest moment really is the fact that I'm in there and being able to go out and speak in the community at schools to young people about having a goal and achieving it. Because if they see it through me, then I hope that helps them realise that they can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Because the challenge of winning in the area that I represent is very real.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't an easy thing to do. So I am humbled that people put their trust in me. So, yeah, that's been one of my proudest moments. And the other proudest moment, I think, was being able to secure some support for our local marae, Rōpōtaka marae, when it wasn't something that was easy to do and it wasn't something that was part of the long-term plan.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the support from all the councillors, most of the councillors, we were able to secure really good support for the marae to start their rebuild.
Awesome. I know you've not been on the council for quite a bit, I think about 6 months, right? Not for that long. But have you started experiencing some significant shift? I mean, huge difference between, being on the council, the governing board, and then your past experience as a local board chair and then a member.
Yes. So I actually, being on the local board is, being the local board chair was really difficult because everybody came to you for everything.
Dealing with the grassroots.
With the community.
Yeah.
And it's very hard because you're dealing with a constrained budget and you're dealing with the mothership of Auckland Council and it's very hard to get anything moving because Auckland Council is like a circle and you're a square trying to
fit into that hole
and it doesn't fit I found it was definitely harder with local boards.
I mean, would you put part of the blame on the system that we have in place?
I would.
Which is making it difficult for local councils to kind of have a better engagement with the mother organization. I'm not too sure about the CCOs with Auckland Council, but it feels like there's always a little bit of shift of friction when it comes to some of these things. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that would be correct. It almost feels like local boards are advocating to the mothership when actually local boards are co-governors with the governing body. They shouldn't have to feel that they're on the outside trying to lobby on the inside, but actually that is the case.
What are some of the things you think we can do to kind of change that culture?
I think it's giving meaning, real meaning, to co-governance.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And then also how to bring the CCOs into that picture.
Yeah.
Because just going through a statement of intent process is not enough accountability to bring everybody on the board. Same, you know, on the same kaupapa, even. Yeah, so we do have a ways to go. Now that I'm on the governing body, it's easier to work within the mothership, whereas when I was on the local board, it was very, very difficult. And that even goes for CCOs. So that's been my experience.
Yeah. Awesome. What are some of the priorities of the council for the next 5 to 10 years? I know you've not been in for that long, but I'm pretty sure you're familiar with some of the strategic goals and plans and all that for the city. So as a councillor, can you share a little bit of some of the priorities that the council has got, that in the next 5 years or in the next 10 years, this is where we are and this is where we're going to be?
Yeah. So the priorities are all outlined in the Auckland plan.
Yeah.
That's 2050, I think. But it really is about transport, fixing our transport problems in Auckland. It's about water quality. We've got really, really old infrastructure.
Yeah.
So dealing with that. And it's also about housing and making sure we've got the infrastructure to deal with all the new builds that will be happening, because we have 20,000 going into Tamaki, 10,000 going into Mangere, so I think 10,000 into Mount Roskill.
Yeah.
All of those developments are going to require parks, you know, more pipes, water pipes, and also social cohesion needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because you're actually building new communities. So
it's not just about the infrastructure, but
yeah, it's not just about the buildings, but the people have got to get on. The schools need to be supported, because they're going to take a drop when the current communities are moved, and then there's a gap until new communities move in. So there is a place for council in placemaking and social cohesion, community development amongst all that redevelopment. So I think those are definitely the priorities. Diversity, participation, major priorities for Auckland Council in the next few years.
Awesome. Auckland is growing rapidly, really, really fast as compared to any other city in the country. I think we stand at 1.8, forgive me if I'm wrong. What is the population? 1.5 million. So, and it's going to increase, you know, rapidly. Help us to understand the growth projections and how we are going to pay for it.
That's a good question.
Definitely. The more we become, the bigger we become, you know, the more we have to probably spend.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to spend more, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah, that's right. And that's the difficulty. You know, we have all these things that we want to achieve as Auckland Council. There's the Auckland Plan, but then it's how do you pay for it in an environment where, you know, rates are quite high already. Mm. People have said that lots and lots of times. So, you know, trying to increase rates would not be palatable for a lot of people.
There might be a backlash.
Yeah, there'll be a backlash. So how do you do that in this kind of environment? Mm. And then, you know, how we're doing it with transport is the fuel tax. So there are targeted rates that you can impose to deal with specific problems, like the water quality rate. Mm. There needs to be heavy or more investment from central government.
Yeah.
If Auckland is the powerhouse of the country, then it's going to require a lot more investment.
Support,
And good on this current government, because they have come to the table with transport funding. I think in total it's $28 billion. So we're able to implement the transport program for Auckland, whereas previously I believe the council wasn't able to implement that because of funding gaps. So there's that. There is looking at selling non-strategic assets, so assets that, you know, aren't being used well, aren't generating anything for council or the public. So that's also in the mix. Do you sell assets in order to do things that you need to do as a council?
So in terms of at your sales, what are some of the things that you might be considering selling?
So there's, when you have a redevelopment happening in your community, like a Pānuku development, Unlock, for instance, there may be assets there that are owned by council that could be sold to fund developments in that area. So that's another way to fund, you know, operations, fund things that council does. And it can be quite an emotional process because a lot of people have sentimental value to assets.
That's right.
So that's a that's very difficult to navigate.
Mm.
You've just got to work with community. That is why it is so important to have good community engagement.
Yeah, so if you've got to be done, you have to probably engage all the proper stakeholders to make sure that.
And then, you know, council's also looking at special purpose vehicles.
Yeah.
So other ways that it can fund things by working with third parties, private sector, crowd infrastructure partners. So there's that option as well. It could always borrow more, but actually I think we're almost at our debt ceiling, so council wouldn't be looking to borrow more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's quite a few options.
Awesome. All right. So thank you. We'll go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue our interview with Councillor Josephine Batley. So she's our guest for today on the Born to Lead show. So after the quick music break, we're going to be continuing our interview. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. So if you just seen it, you are listening to the Born to Lead. Coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.7. And today, our guest for today's show is Councillor Batley, the Auckland Council. So as I said, so if you've got any questions or comments, just feel free to post them on my Facebook page, and we're going to read them out. And then also, with regards to the questions, ask our councillor, and I'm sure she'll be more than happy to answer them. So thank you. So you are listening to the Born to Live Show. I mean, true live from the studios of Planet FM. Well, our guest for today's show is your counselor, Josephine Batley, who sits on the governing board for our beautiful, livable city of Auckland. So welcome back once again to the Born to Live Show. So as I said earlier, so we've got Councillor Batley with us for today's show, and we've been interviewing her about her role on the council, and then as well as some of the things that they are doing, and the things that we should expect, you know, in the future. So we're going to be talking to her about her community involvement as well, which will be the last lap for today's interview. So thank you once again for coming to the show, Councillor Batley.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, tell us, you made mention of one group called Pacifica. Would you, what is Pacifica or Tamaki? Pacifica Tamaki or just Pacifica?
Pacifica.
So what is it?
Pacifica is a nationwide organization of Pacific women. Started in the 1970s when the women, well, when families, people started moving over from the islands to New Zealand. I am involved in the Pacifica Tamaki branch. So I was on the national executive for 10 years. And it's really about empowering advancement, participation of Pacific women in New Zealand society.
You were the inaugural president. I mean, which year was this?
I was the Northern Region Vice
Northern
President.
Northern Region, okay.
So from Whangarei to Gisborne, that was my area that I looked after.
So from your experience, what are some of the significant things that has been done or impact that Pacifica has been able to make to the Pacifica community?
Right. Well, actually, Pacifica was right in there in the early 80s, advocating for a lot of the changes that we take for granted now. Breast screening, you know, cervical screening, a lot of health issues, teacher registration, nurses registration, domestic violence. You know, Pacifica was right there. Even involved in the setup of the Ministry of Pacific Peoples through Louisa Crawley back then. So, a lot of scholarships through the founding inaugural president, Alitino Paddy Walker. So amazing advocacy and work that was done by the women of Pacifica from when it started to even now. It's still quite influential in its advocacy.
Yeah, and what are some of the challenges you are facing? If I'm very sure all is not rosy. You're facing some challenges. Would you be able to share some of the challenges you're facing?
The challenges any organization faces, a volunteer organization, is recruitment, membership, sustainability. But however, you know, Pacific has managed to sustain itself for over 40 years now. And it really comes down to the women and their love for what they do and their love for the organization and the cause. But in terms of Pacific people in general, the statistics speak for themselves. So, you know, we are still high in obesity, in cancer, domestic violence, unemployment, all those statistics. It's very hard to argue that, you know, there's still a long way to go as Pacific people. That being said, we're making great inroads in areas where we are excelling and doing well. So we just have to, you know, bridge that gap, I suppose, in between.
How much support do you get from local and central government in terms of, I mean, the work that you're doing as an organization?
Right. So in terms of Pacifica National, our national president is Bernadette Pereira. And I don't think the support from national or, you know, central or local government is big. It's not a big amount that the group is getting funded to do. So a lot of it is just fundraising at branch level and grants here and there from philanthropic. But it's not a big receiver of government funding.
But do you feel there's a need for that to be increased if it's little, or if not at all?
Yeah. Of course there's a need for it. But the, you know, it's hard because it's not a service provider.
Mm.
It's similar to National Council of Women, Māori Women's Welfare League, and those groups play a specific role, which is very hard to, you know, be contracted for because it's also got to maintain its autonomy.
Yeah.
My branch, so I'm not involved at the national level anymore. I'm involved with my local branch, the Tamaki branch.
Yeah.
And we get involved in local activities. Really, for some branches, it's just about having some time out because everybody is so busy in their church and the school trust board and everything that we do. So actually, the message of looking after yourself is undervalued, and that's something that people need to really take serious consideration of. For myself, this whole self-care message is really important. I've had a few health scares myself, and recently I've focus on trying to get my weight to a healthy level.
Mm-hmm.
Because as many people tell me, you can't look after anybody else if you're not well yourself. So if I want to do what I do in the community, I've got to make sure I'm as healthy as I can be.
Mm. What are some of the key strategic priorities for Pacifica?
Okay. So I'm not involved in just Pacifica. I chair the Glen Innes Family Centre, local social service provider, Tamaki Community Patrols, and other groups that I support. But in terms of Pacifica, I think the overall strategy is just about how to support women to better participate in New Zealand society, women and girls. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. You are also involved. I know it's not just Pacifica. You're also involved in Red Cross. Is that right? Would you tell us a little bit more about some of your involvement in Red Cross with regards to the Pacifica community engagement?
Right. So I was involved with Red Cross. Mm. I was the Pacific community engagement. And really the bulk of that work was around disaster.
Yeah.
So working a lot with the Fijian community when the cyclone hit Fiji.
You had to travel to some of these areas?
I didn't travel.
Yeah.
I just worked with Auckland-based communities here on how they can best support back home. And it really was about fundraising and donations, because that is the best way to support when there is a disaster back home, so that, you know, they can buy resources in that particular area and help stimulate the economy that way. So it was really a lot of community engagement, building links between Red Cross and our Pacific communities in Auckland. That was the bulk of my work when I was there. So I did that. I was at Consumer Affairs for a long time. Trying to kind of even the playing field. Because legislation wasn't strong enough to protect people from bad deals, from loan sharks. There are some changes that could be made now with the legislation to help protect people from loan sharks. So that was a big part of my life.
Awesome. Yeah. You've been a strong advocate for your community. I mean, you're a very staunch community advocate, which has been your backbone, as you said, for most of the things that you are enjoying today. So tell us a bit about some of the things that you've been doing in your community, apart from Pacifica and what you've done in Red Cross. What are some of the things, your relationships with your community?
You know, I always say that I actually got a lot of my growth from being in the community, in particular the Tamaki community.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a kitchen and you see all these pots boiling, and you get to lift the lid and see, you know,
What's happening.
And that's a real privilege, and I really value that because that is where I got my growth from. People ask me who influences you or who inspires you, and it is people in my community every day that I see doing different things that inspire me to want to be like them, to do better. Just amazing people in our community, and everybody is working hard to try and do their best for others on limited budgets, and it's just, you know, if we could do anything, if our community could be better, it would be that we resource our community sector much more than we currently do. That being said, I also did the Leadership New Zealand program in 2011, and that was another changing point in my life. I learned some really good lessons there about using your levers of influence, the positions that you hold, to do some good while you're in those positions, about having a vision and showing people that vision so that they know where you want to take them. And then, you know, that will help them believe in what you want to achieve. So I carry those messages or learnings with me, as well as self-reflection. Pick that up from Leadership New Zealand. And I take that with me in everything I do, not just in council, but in the community. So, yes, I do patrols. We set that up in 2012. And, you know, that was with the Glen Innes Neighbourhood Policing Team. So full respect to the New Zealand Police and they're wanting to do more in the community and prevention. And I hope they continue down that path because it's way better than just enforcing.
So is it just GI that you patrol, Pamui and Pamui, other places?
GI Queen England, so we patrol there. There are other community patrollers in other areas of Auckland. So we're all one big family, but with in Tamaki, we try and go out every weekend. And we've got awesome people from different backgrounds. But Chris McQuarrie, who's also the local board chair, he's also manager of the Glen Innes Family Centre and also coordinates our patrols. So, you know, another active, passionate community person. And Maria Meredith on our local board, she's involved in so many things in the community. Alan Verrill, long time community advocate, involved in the community. Narissa Henry, you know, they've just got long histories in the community. And then they make it onto the local board and just the, you know, the consequences of having strong community people will only benefit our community.
Strong impact. Awesome. How do you motivate yourself and stay motivated?
You know, a lot of people ask me, where do you get the energy from to do what you do? Because I'm out there all the time. Hardly ever.
How do you do that?
I think... Well, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. But I just love being with our people, our communities. And, God as well. It's, you know, God has given me the strength to do what I do. And, I really enjoy it. I love it. And I feel like this is the path that I'm meant to take. And when you feel like that, you are motivated. That motivates you. When you feel like you have some purpose... that's motivating.
I'm sure a lot of young people, especially in leadership, look up to you, and that is especially with those in your community, although there might be others. Young people, let me put it that way, young people of New Zealand who are aspiring to be leaders, especially in the Pacifica community, look up to you. What advice do you have for young people aspiring to be leaders like you?
There is a Samoan saying, ole ala, ole pule, ole tautua. The way to the path to leadership is through service. So my advice to young people is to serve, and see it as service, a public service, that's what it's called, and just to do some good in the positions that they're in while they're in there and try and make a difference that way. Because I do honestly believe that we were put on this earth to do great things. I really believe that. And the scariest thing I saw when I was out patrolling on my first patrol was seeing people lying amongst skip bins and rubbish. And because that is not what God intended
for us,
was to be treated as rubbish amongst rubbish. So, I honestly believe it's about progression and doing great things. So... that's my advice. Serve.
Awesome. So if you had to start over from a scratch, knowing what you know, what would Josephine Butley do differently?
What would I do differently?
Because you've kind of, I mean, looking at your portfolio, looking at your background, kind of risen through the ranks, especially in governance and leadership when it comes to, you know, the council. I mean, looking back, what would you have done differently?
I would have started earlier. Because there were opportunities where I could have put myself forward a lot more earlier, but I didn't have confidence in myself.
And could that be an advice for the young people aspiring to be leaders as well?
Definitely. I listened to the
naysayers.
I would have started in my 20s because I didn't stand for parliament until I was 35. So I would have started way earlier. I would have started in my 20s and I would have gotten involved in local government.
Which is pretty much the age average for our, kind of the age bracket for our prime minister. So probably she started earlier.
I think she did start earlier because she was involved in a socialist movement.
Mm.
So, I would have done that. I would have, I would have had more confidence in myself because I didn't. And when you don't, you listen to the naysayers and then you end up regretting not believing in yourself.
Yeah.
So please don't listen to the naysayers. There's plenty of them out there. Just believe in yourself and do it.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. The other thing I want to ask is that I know Samoans are very family oriented. You know, they cherish family values and all that.
Yeah.
How do you balance being a family oriented person, you know, that as a person and then you're professional? How do you balance that?
My family were my biggest backers for my campaign.
Yeah,
was my family. So they support what I do. I can't do what I do without the support of my family.
Yeah.
How do you balance it? I don't have kids of my own, but I'm trying to spend my time evenly amongst my nieces, my nephews, my aunties, my uncles, my family, my cousins, and my community, and doing the role that I do on the council. So it is about prioritizing.
Yeah.
With the house guests that I've had, it was my family that was there for me and my community. So that is my first priority.
Awesome. What have you sacrificed, you know, at each stage of your career?
I have always been focused on public service. So I think what I've sacrificed is probably investing more time in myself. But I'm doing that now. I got to 170 kilos. I got really, really big. And that's because I put myself last. I would be in meetings, I'd be in the community, and then I'd come home and I'd eat takeaways. I'd just eat whatever was around me. I didn't like myself, and so I didn't really look after myself. So that was one sacrifice. And the other sacrifice would be the relationship, because I was so focused on my career path that I didn't have energy or space to meet anybody and start a relationship from there. So yeah, there has been some sacrifices.
What would be your last word on the Born to Lead show, Councillor Butley?
Sorry, what was that?
Your last word on the Born to Lead show.
Oh,
what would you tell our viewers and listeners?
My last word on the Born to Lead show is that we are all born to lead. It may not be through a political position, but it will be some, you know, we're leading in every other way that we live as human beings. So, my last word is lead. Go out there and lead. Lead as who you are, because by being the person you are leading. You just have no idea the impact that you have.
All right. So, Councillor Butley, thank you for coming to the Born to Lead show.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure having you.
And for this show.
Awesome. All right. Talofa. That reminds me, what did you do on the suffrage day?
Oh, I went out and celebrated early morning sunrise celebration at Aotea Centre with fellow Auckland women, and it was awesome.
Awesome,
and
thank
you. I supported my niece,
who's
living with me. She's staying with me at the moment, who jumped off the Sky Tower. So, you know, it was about empowering for my niece and myself. So that's what the suffrage.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us on the show. All right, so that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you all for those who tune in. So same time, same place next week. Thank you and have a wonderful week. God bless you. Bye. Yeah, done.
again.